May I speak in the name and to the glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Jesus is so radical, so subversive. We've read and heard the gospel so many times that we become inoculated against how radical and subversive he is. He's not subversive on principle. He doesn't set out to be difficult for the sake of it. But he's subversive because he really wants things to change. And if things are going to change, you have to be subversive about how they are. He's subversive about the role of religion, which is what I'll be talking about this evening, and subversive about the broader fabric of human relations in society, which is what I'll be talking about next week. I think one of the most important texts in the Gospels is the Sabbath is made for man, for people, not people for the Sabbath. In the Gospel story we heard this evening, Jesus is subversive about the Sabbath regulations, what you can and can't do. On another occasion when he's healing on the Sabbath day, he's really angry when people say that he shouldn't be doing that. And the Sabbath, I think, stands for all religious regulations. So when he says the Sabbath is made for people, I think he's basically saying religion is made for people, not people for religion. Religion is a means to an end. It's there to serve the needs of people. Other things are more important than religion. The needs of people are more important than religion. This may seem odd for a religious leader to be saying. It may seem odd for a priest to be saying. And I'm not saying that religion has no value, and I don't think Jesus thought that religion has no value. It's not that the Sabbath rules are pointless, but they're made to serve the needs of people. So we need to ask about the Sabbath and about all religion. Is it doing its job? Is it serving the needs of people? For us, for society. Jesus is thinking pragmatically about religion. He wants people to benefit from religion. He wants people to be healed. Is that happening? If so, well and good. If not, then religion has gone wrong. Jesus tells this story about David to make his point. David going into the synagogue to take the showbread. David and his men were hungry and they needed bread, and the bread was the only bread available to them. Jesus is entirely supportive of their having taken this ritual bread. They were breaking the religious rules, but they were just being practical. They were hungry and they had human needs, and Jesus supports their taking the ritual bread. Jesus puts human needs above religious rules. Once again, religion is intended to benefit people, not people to serve religion. Jesus puts benefits to people above religion. Religion's there for a purpose. For Jesus, it's a means to an end, not an end in itself. A key issue in many of Jesus' interactions is who you can mix with. There were many kinds of people that you couldn't mix with in Jesus' society because by doing so you lost your ritual purity. And Jesus repeatedly shows that he has no problem about mixing with people that religion says he shouldn't mix with. The shepherds who came to the manger at his birth would have been ritually impure, people he should not have mixed with, and the lepers and Samaritans and tax gatherers and many others, all forbidden. Jesus boldly goes there despite the religious rules. And the story of the Good Samaritan is about human need being more important than religion. It's become one of Jesus' best known, best loved stories. so much love that I think we sometimes don't quite hear how radical and subversive it is, and how much it's a story against religious restraint and regulation. Perhaps we think it's just a story against the Jewish religion, but I think any religion can go bad in the kind of way that the story of the Good Samaritan is against. So perhaps we should change the characters in the story. Perhaps the first person who comes along should be a leading evangelical preacher, and perhaps the second should be a cardinal of the Catholic Church, and they both pass by and do nothing. And the third character who comes to the aid of the man who's been beaten up, then think of any improbable person you can. A Muslim, or someone of another faith, an escaped convict, an atheist, Richard Dawkins, Robert Mugabe. Think of any improbable person you can. Jesus' point is that it doesn't matter what faith people have, it doesn't matter what associations they have for you. What matters is what they do and whether they look after people or not. To attend to the man who'd been beaten up and robbed would have made whoever did it ritually impure. It's a classic case of human need coming into conflict with religious constraints. The priest prioritizes religion over human need, so does the Levite. But for Jesus, this is not how to behave. Jesus' endorsement goes to the Samaritan who's shown neighborliness and attends to human need. Jesus is here on the same page as some of the Hebrew prophets, perhaps particularly Amos, from whom we heard this evening, standing up in the marketplace and thundering against the priorities of religious rituals and feasts and fasts. Instead, Amos says, let righteousness flow like an ever-flowing river. And Jesus' teaching is echoed in the Epistle of St. James. True religion is helping the widows in their distress. Faith and works go together. Lip service isn't enough. Faith isn't enough. As Jesus himself said, just saying, Lord, Lord, is not enough. You must actually do what needs to be done. And it's very strange in the light of that Luther should have claimed that people are saved by faith alone. It seems to me that's a flat contradiction of what we read in the Bible in the readings we've had at this evening service. It's not faith alone, it's doing the right thing as well. And it's not only human need that must take priority over religious requirements, so must inner transformation, something else that Jesus is very concerned about. It comes over clearly in the Sermon on the Mount. Inner prayer is what matters. It's not a matter of public displays of prayer or fasting, but real inner prayer that changes people. So where does all this leave us now? You might say that Jesus was railing against the Jewish religion of his time, and we're Christians, so we're okay. But I think religion can always turn sour, even Christianity. Religion has an extraordinary capacity to do both good and harm. Yes, it can do good, enormous good. But let's face it, religion can also do harm, and critics of religion like Dawkins can easily assemble evidence of the harm that religion can do. So let us, as Christians, be discriminating about religion. Religion isn't all good or all bad. Let us test it and see, does it serve the needs of people? I think it boils down to a question of priorities. There's not the same flat contradiction between the needs of people and the requirements and strictures of the church as there were with the Jewish religion of Jesus' day. But the question of priorities between church and world arises constantly. And it echoes Jesus' words about the Sabbath. The Sabbath is made for people, not people for the Sabbath. And I think we need to be clear that the church exists to serve people in God's name. It's not a matter of people existing to serve the church. Of course, I welcome it when people come to church. I welcome it when they give of their time, their money, and their talents to keep the church going so that the church can better serve the needs of people around it. It can't run on thin air. But if the church is to be faithful to Jesus, it must never become an end in itself. The question of priorities comes into focus every time a new person joins this or any church. The primary question is not, how can this person serve the church? Though that question may arise later. The primary question is, how can the church meet the needs of this person and help them to set forward God's purpose of love and reconciliation in their lives and in their contacts with those around them and in wider society? If the church gets that question of priorities wrong, it starts to think that people are there to serve it, rather than the church being there to serve people, and then things go badly wrong. At best, the church loses credibility and withers away. At worst, it spawns divisions and hostilities and becomes a travesty of what it should be. Let us take seriously Jesus' subversiveness about religion, religion that becomes an end in itself. Jesus is focused on the needs of people. He comes to us as a servant king. He invites us to a life of service, service of those around us. And religion is there to facilitate that, not to get in its way. May it be so among us. Amen.